Let me check, is this working? Yeah. What a wonderful day, isn't it? I think we're really spoiled by God with this wonderful weather. Checking last night, St. John's in Newfoundland, I think it's 1 today. Halifax, Charlottetown 3 and 4. They still have winter. Wonderful. For this wonderful weather. But I think as we just sang, God is the most wonderful of all. He is the great and holy God. Thank you for the worship. Let us have a word of prayer. Our great and almighty God, thank you for your love and your kindness, your faithfulness. God, we are so small, we are nothing in comparison with you, but you are the great God, and you love us with an indescribable love. Thank you that we may have the privilege, the freedom in Jesus' name to come to you this morning. Thank you that you are our Father, Heavenly Father. You're taking care of us. You look after us. You give us all that we need. So many privileges. So many gifts. Especially, thank you for taking care of our spiritual needs through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This morning we bring to you all the members of our church family that suffer and have pain, suffer with health issues and problems. You know us, O Lord, and you know exactly what we need. Thank you that we can bring them to you and all the problems, especially if we pray this morning for Devon, Joan, the children. We pray that you will give to Devon new health, new strength, so that he can go on with his work and be a blessing to all of us. Thank you for your word. Oh God, you have the words of eternal life. Therefore, we pray that you will help us to open our hearts and open our minds and spiritually understand what you say to us, so that we can act and live according to your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, from verse 1. Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down and their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Easter is all about Christ that raised up from the grave. Christ is alive. That is all that is important in Easter time and this time of the year, waiting and remembering the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, that Christ has risen. The Message, new translation of the Message Bible, say, raised up from the grave. And the men, as the Message translation put it, light sort of pouring over them, ask the woman, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? How is it possible that you, the followers of Jesus Christ, who have heard what he said and have the Old Testaments and all the prophets, do not understand that Christ is not here in the grave? Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Because Easter is about the victory that Christ conquered the hell, as the Bible put it, the death, the Satan. Death has been swallowed up in victory, according to 1 Corinthians 15. Important, Christ is alive, and the kingdom of God has finally come, as predicted and proclaimed by Jesus. The kingdom of God, remember that, because the disciples and the women was looking for Christ in the grave because they was waiting for the kingdom of Israel. Sometimes it's so difficult to understand how the disciples and the followers of Jesus were thinking. After all he had said and done, they were still looking for the living one in the grave. Because their idea, their way of thinking was he was the Messiah and he should be only for Israel. They were so narrow-minded about Jesus and the kingdom of God he was speaking about. It was only the kingdom for Israel. In Acts chapter 1. And remember, that was after Jesus showed him as being alive. Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 6. Lord, are you still at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Restore the kingdom to Israel. In chapter 4, Luke 24, the people from Emmaus said to the Lord, verse 21, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Their hopes and all their hearts were in the Redeemer of Israel. And for many of them, from the oppression of the Roman Empire, to be again the kingdom of Israel. That's why, even more serious, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and their mother came to the Lord and asked him in Mark 10, verse 35, to be on his right and his left hand side in the kingdom. So busy with their own interest and their position and what they gained from Jesus, that they could not understand how it's possible that now their Savior, their new King, is dead and is in the grave. And that's why they're going to the grave to look for Jesus. And the angel said, why are you looking for the living one in the grave? All their hopes and all their dreams were gone. They were, as we put it, down in the dumps. It was over, finally over. He was crucified, he's dead, and nothing happened. How many times in our lives people experience the same attitude of heart? How many of us have still this sort of, the church is only for me and my people? The gospel of Jesus Christ is only for good people, or for the way I think about it, what is right and wrong, and then I use my idea of what the Messiah should be like. It's possible that we still have our own ideas and do not understand John 3, verse 16. God so loved the world. Not the Jews, not the Canadians, not the South Africans, but the world. And that is the message. And with us, of course, it was so difficult for them, with their background as Jews, to understand the message of new life, eternal life, hope. In the first letter of Peter, he wrote, God has given us new life through the resurrection of Christ. But the disciples and the followers of Jesus were so, the message, New Message translation said, thick-headed and slow-hearted. So slow to learn and to understand what Jesus told them. The message of hope. He told them in the parable of the good shepherd, I will give you life to the full, in abundance. Life that will never stop. In John 10, in John 11, at Lazarus' graves, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone believing in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. The restoration, the healing of making right the relation with God through Jesus. Starting with a new beginning, life forever. They didn't even remember that he said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the road, the truth, and the life. He who believes in me will live forever. Everyone who believes in Christ will have eternal, everlasting life. And it started when we, through faith in Jesus, embraced the Lord as our Savior, as our Lord. The new life begins. The race, the good race, Paul spoke about in the letter to Timothy, started and at the end, at the finishing of the race, it will be Christ who will lift us over in the house of his Father with the many rooms. We will not die. Our bodies will die and put into the grave. But everyone who believes in Christ will have the life rooted in Christ, established, built on Christ. The women and the disciples have no hope. They didn't understand what the Lord was saying to them. They They didn't experience the life. And the message was, it's over. The living one is still in the grave. All the promises, all the good things, it's done. And we, there's a beautiful word in Philippians chapter 2 saying that we the followers and believers in Christ, we should conduct in such a manner worthy to the message of Jesus Christ. The New Translation, Philippians 1:27, live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Jesus Christ. The message of hope, the message of life with Christ, the living Christ. They told the story about Luther, the great reformer. One morning when he got up, his wife was dressed in black from top to bottom. Someone had died. So Luther asked her, "Who is dead? I haven't heard about anyone." His wife said to him, "Luther, I'm dressed in black because your God is dead. You are so depressed. You are so no having hope. Everything is coming to an end for you. You behave like Christ died. It's over. That's why I'm dressed in black. Looking to you, the great reformer, God is dead." Are we the people that bring the love of Christ to this world? That was a message of the living Christ, to live and to love one another. And when people do not experience and feel no love and feel reject in my presence and are wondering, what am I trying to say? I witness and I say I'm a child of God, but looking to my attitude and the way I speak and the way I act, dealing with other people, my Savior is still in the grave. Do the world and does the world really see the living Christ in our lives? May God never ever ask you and me, why are you looking for the living one in the grave? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ is risen, raised up from the grave, that He is the living Christ and in our lives through the Holy Spirit working day by day. Please help us. Help us to live in such a way that we are really and will be really a credit to Your gospel. In such a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to be rooted, really rooted in You, our Lord and Savior. Amen.